finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
You're listening to The Litter Box, a Detroit Tigers podcast, with your hosts, Chet West and Bill Patterson. Here's what's on deck for this episode.
We didn't plate a ton of runs in this series. At this point, I am fairly certain he will not be on the 40-man.
Was it the pork chop sandwich? Did you go for the pork? No.
Byron Buxton might be my favorite player of all time because he dropped like...
Litterbox listeners, welcome to the Tigers edition. And boy, oh boy, we've had a road trip, and I don't know that we have a whole lot of awesomeness to report, even though the Tigers won the series in Chicago over the White Sox. They won Monday, August 11th, 2-1. They lost in dismal fashion yesterday, 9-6, and then today they eked out a 1-0 win against the White Sox, and I've got a host of thoughts, but I also know my co-host does as well. So, Chet, just give me a couple thoughts off the top of your head on this.
I think we were fortunate, first and foremost. We didn't plate a ton of runs in this series, except in the game we lost. I mean, the two games that we won, we scored a total of 3 runs. That typically won't even get you a win if you score that across one game. So, first game, 2-1 victory. Chris Paddock. We got the decent Chris Paddock in this one. Not bad, right? 5.2 innings, 3 hits, a run, a walk, 4 Ks. I can get with that. That's fine. That's what you expect out of a number 5 guy, which is basically what he is, or a 5B, or a 5C, or however we want to list it.
Can I call him a 6 at this point?
Yeah, you totally can. I mean, can a swing guy in most rotations, maybe.
Can we circle back to that later, please?
Yeah. Yeah, well, let's circle back to the concept of the sixth starter, shall we? Put a little footnote there.
We'll put a pin in it.
Your guy, Tyler Holton, had a nice little game in game one, though. One and a third, gave up a hit, got a K, no runs again. Maybe he's trending in the right direction. Feeling better about him lately?
Yeah, he knew that he was in my town, so he needed to represent because...
Like my guy is down the road.
I mean, he's like, Billy P's my biggest supporter. He's the only guy that ordered my jersey.
You don't burn your biggest supporter.
No.
Kyle Finnegan gave us an inning. It seems like Finnegan is now taking that hold position, that setup position, and Vest is keeping the closing position. Or are they just going to flip-flop? I'll be curious to see how that works out.
I can only talk about what happened today, and we are broadcasting on the 13th.
We are. Yep.
And it seemed that they resumed the setup for Finnegan,
yeah,
the closer for Vest, and it works really well.
It does.
Chet, I'm not going to say that you and I are Nostradamus or really good at this baseball analysis. That being said, we were spot on about Kyle Finnegan.
He makes a very good setup guy, good high leverage guy. I mean, he's efficient. 11 pitches, 1 strikeout, got his inning of work done. Gave it to Vest, got his inning of work done. 1 strikeout, 12 pitches. Both those guys at the back end make me feel a little better, at least for the time being. They have not, and Holton obviously had to hold his own in this one too, as we said. 2-1 game, pitching matters because the bats certainly did not do it. They got a lot of hits. They got 8 hits. They just could only scratch across the 2 runs. I would like to bring something up real quick. Your guy Trey Sweeney's back up with the big league squad.
Much to my chagrin.
Yes. I knew I wanted to get that in there. He had his at bat in game 1 there. It looked like he came on as a pinch hitter. I don't need him really on the squad right now. I'll be looking for him to be replaced at some point. I just don't see him being there. A ton of upside with him, and I think he's only up there because a couple guys are down. So we'll see what happens. You want to do game 2? How do you feel?
Well,
or did you want to talk a little bit about game 1 still?
No, I don't really want to talk about game 1, but before we go to game 2, let's talk a little bit about Trey Sweeney.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
And let's talk about the injuries.
And his 200 average.
Yeah. And this is part of what you and I discussed basically the month of June, and maybe even, you know, leading up to Memorial Day, is that you've got a lot of chips to play with in terms of you finally have a good farm system. You have depth. You can do things to upgrade this. And the Dodgers knew that they were selling us a turd when we got Trey Sweeney.
Who, by the way, was sold to them by the Yankees. So Trey was, we're his third stop on the list here.
So he's a turd three times.
He's a turd 3 times. We're being rough on him. I just don't see him pulling around. I don't know that the ability's there at the plate. We'll see. But
it's not that, Chet.
And he's also a little bit, he's gotten a little rusty on the old fielding side of things, too.
He's so, and he's been this way all season. He is so slow to turn a double play. It's like he waits for the ball. He never approaches it. I mean, we're talking little league shortstop stuff, you know? So that being said, the fact that Vierling's down, that Meadows is down, I already said my piece on that last pod, and that now we've got our guy, my guy, the Trey boy up. I'm not happy. And I'm not happy as well for the fact that this organization, who I am going to rip Scott Harris later, just cannot seemingly figure out how to get the right 9 guys up or 13 guys up at any given time.
It's kind of bizarre. The talent seems to be out there to some degree or another. We just can't seem to get the combo quite right on who needs to be up and who doesn't. Then again, it comes down to the guys playing. I mean, when you bring them up, they got to play too, and they're expected to. They've had a history of playing at times. You want to see them carry that over. They're just a couple guys just kind of coming out flat this year after what they did at the end of last season.
Whoa. Can we take a step back on that?
Yeah.
Just because Trey Sweeney is no one that has ever had a history of performing.
He doesn't have much of a history at all. I mean, last season was his only history, and he showed a little promise there down the stretch when we needed a guy to do so, but he didn't even get to Parker Meadows level last season is what I'm saying. He just showed some promise. He showed some, you know, as a young player, it looked like he had had the ability to be up there.
In note to listeners, I was at today's game, so I might be a step behind Chad on a couple of these topics.
No. That's, I'm never ahead, so don't worry. We're probably going to be at the same speed.
But that of Meadows and Vierling, you would think it would be addition by subtraction, and it doesn't seem to be that just yet. So let's move to game 2, which might have been the worst loss the Tigers have had all season.
So we're going to combo a couple themes here. One of them is the inconsistency of Jack Flaherty, the helter-skelter. We don't know what we're ever going to get from him pitching in this game after he had a few decent starts over his last couple outings. And we were
really
saying,
did.
Hey, you just had some good start. Let's give it to Jack Flaherty. Comes out, goes 4 1/3, 8 hits, 5 runs, a walk, 6 Ks. So it wasn't wild. They just hit him and hit him hard, too. A lot of hard hit balls by the Sox in this game. And he didn't even make it through the fifth. And you bring Herder in. Herder gives up a run. Hewer, the trade acquisition Hewer, who was just brought up recently, gave up 2 hits and a run. He got the 2 Ks. He also gave up a walk in an inning and 2/3. And then your guy, my guy, Mr. Changeup, Tommy Canley. 1 1/3, two hits, two runs, two walks, two Ks. I mean, he is sprinkling it all over the place. I don't know. I don't know what to do with him at this point. I'm completely lost as to why he keeps getting rolled out there. But here's what's problematic. This was a 9-6 game. The offense actually came back and started pounding the ball a little bit on their pen. Tyler Gilbert and Mike Vassell gave up runs later in the game. We had a chance to be in this game, and our pen gave up three down the stretch. I just don't understand why we're rolling people like Canley out there who give us an inning of work and almost automatically give up a run these days. I don't know what we're waiting on him to get right with. I think it's over. The changeup has to be located, and he can't, and that's really it. So I'm baffled by how often and how many chances he gets. Now, like we said, took two out of three from the Sox, won the series, but we'd like a sweep against the Sox, being that they're in last place, right? And we need to catch up some games that we've lost ground on. Anyway, maybe that's a ridiculous request. Your thoughts on game two?
I echo what you're saying, and for the life of me, I cannot figure out what's going on with Canley. Or Canley, however you want to pronounce it. He just cannot locate either fastball or changeup, which he only has two pitches. And at this point, I am fairly certain he will not be on the 40 man.
I'm wondering if he would be.
Game 160, let alone game 162. I think he is in serious danger of being designated for assignment. And the only reason I can figure, which I'm sure is what you're thinking as well, is because he's a 35-year-old man. He is a vested MLB veteran. He is out of options. There's nothing they can do with him, they being the Tigers, outside of keep him up unless he gets hurt or this is a, come on, just let's have a little fun with it.
Okay.
Nicks himself in an inappropriate spot, shaving.
Digging for hairs to shave off?
That
just trying to shave something off?
That hasn't happened, and here we are. So that being said, last night might have been as bad as it could possibly be. As far as Flaherty goes, at this point, I wish we had never re-signed him.
I just don't know what we're getting. Like, again, we go to the 5A, 5B, 5C, 6, 7 starter. I mean, we've got a bunch of guys that probably would struggle to stay in anybody's five-man rotation. And it's troublesome because Flaherty can be good. Yeah, competitive teams. Teams playing for the postseason.
Yeah.
And we saw some good stuff at the plate in this game. I mean, Colt Keith goes 2-for-5 with 3 RBIs, a home run. Riley Green, 2-for-4, 2 doubles on a walk. No Ks for Riley in this game. I mean, an epic accomplishment for him this season. Spencer Torkelson did K 4 times. Got the old golden sombrero, but he did get a walk. So he did get the walk, though. He threw a walk in there. So I don't know. I have this theory on the 4-run deal. If your team plates 4 runs or more, the hitters did their job. If your team allows more than 4 runs, then the pitching defense did not do their job. That 4-run line for me is a big one. And if you look at stats, wins and losses, I think I brought this up earlier in the season, the percentages sway massively when you score over 4 runs versus when you score below 4 runs. So I look at the 9-6 score here. This is a pitching failure. Okay, the offense did what the offense needed to do, and they didn't exactly do it late. They got 3 runs in the 9th, but either way, they were going in at a 6-3 game, at 1.73 game, at one point, they're still in striking distance, and then the relievers just kind of threw it away in the final innings. You ready to get to game 3, or did you have any more on that debacle?
I've got nothing on the debacle.
Okay, now for the fun one. Nothing better in baseball than a 1-0 ball game. It tells you so much.
So I did not go last night, although I was invited by a loyal listener, Adam P., and neglected to do it because the weather looked crazy for us. And we just didn't really want to go and have a 7-hour outing where a game may or may not be played.
Gotcha.
Therefore, I punted and went down this afternoon with some neighbors, and it was amazing. I love a 1-0 pitcher's duel.
if and only if Chet, it was that. It was not that Chet. It was
no.
It was
no.
And here's, you know how I like doing my stars kind of like
yeah.
National Hockey League does. Troy Melton was nothing short of frigging amazing today.
I really like him. I am enjoying watching him. He is
great, and I really, really, really would prefer him to be a starting pitcher going forward until the postseason if
he's got a little swing and miss, too.
Happens. Five innings. He only allowed one hit. He had six Ks. And then this is where the wrinkle that I didn't see coming today. Sawyer Gibson Long comes in.
Yeah, came off the IL, didn't he?
And he
got him back.
Two innings, only a lot, or two Ks. Again, one hit, no runs. And then they turn it over to what I am going to start calling the dynamic duo.
Yeah.
Batman and Robin. Finnegan goes an inning, allows a walk. And then Vest pitches an inning, gets a K, and here we are.
And Tigers here we are win, with a 1-0 win. Finnegan and Vest.
Yep. So all my accolades go towards that side of the Tigers, meaning the pitching staff. I got to be honest with you, Chet. Most of these batters look befuddled, if not lost, at the plate right now. And I'm just going to go through some of this just for today. Keith was 0-for-2. He did walk once. Applaud. He was replaced as a pinch hitter by Ibanez, who went 1-for-2. Whereas, we touched on this the other day. I think the biggest problem right now with the Tigers is that Torres used to take 10 pitches, 8 at a minimum, but between 8 and 12 pitches, his first at bat, if not his second at bat, if not his third at bat, and he swung at the second pitch today or the third pitch on all four of his
at-bats. In the immortal words of Axl Rose, just a little patience.
Yeah, we do need just a little patience. Man, I do love some Guns N' Roses.
Mm-hmm. Karp had a good game.
Yeah, he was 2-for-4.
Had his Ks, but nah.
Torque kind of did what he did.
1-for-4, yep.
Riley Green was missing in action yet again.
Yeah, he got a walk.
It doesn't seem to work for him when he's a DH. And I know we need to do a deeper dive in the stats.
I wonder if he needs to be an involved player.
The one kudo I would give today is that the Tigers walked 5 times today, which is amazing. The other kudo comes from my section where a girl on a date was explaining to her boyfriend, I don't know, Tinder date, whatever. I don't think they were actually boyfriend, girlfriend.
Somebody swiped somewhere.
And she said, well, he got her good seats. I do know that. Man. And it was, you know, making sure that she was well fed and
well played.
Yeah. And she goes, this guy has a world-class mustache.
And was then she referring to Riley Green?
No, Rogers.
Jake?
And then she goes, and not a whole lot else.
That's fantastic.
And then the white.
And not a whole lot else.
Then the guaranteed rate scoreboard.
He also carries a 180 batting average.
Then, but this is the best part. She drops that bomb. And then, you know, they have like stats. And I have to give serious kudos because the statistics and what they put up on the scoreboard is so much better at guaranteed rate than at Wrigley Field.
Interesting.
Oh my God.
Okay.
I learned a ton today.
Probably more real estate, but yeah.
Well, cheaper real estate.
Yeah.
Anyhow, yeah, all they're doing is blocking out.
More scoreboard real estate, but by the foot, I'm sure it's cheaper.
Blocking out government housing, which they should just allow the, you know, those folks a free view of the bad product. Anyhow, where I was going with it is the next thing that came up was, did you know Jake Rogers caught every one of 2024 Cy Young winner Tarek Skubal's games? And her date looked at her and he was like, he has some redeeming qualities.
Yes, outside of the mustache. Well, I like that. And by the way, Finnegan Invest, I was going to say it sounds like a law firm. Finnegan Invest actually sounds like a liquor distributor or something. That's more along those lines. Maybe it's, I don't know if it's the names. Sawyer Gibson Long was having a terrible time in AAA. in his rehab starts, I was actually getting pretty afraid. I was like, oh boy, he's getting hit hard down in AAA. He's going to come back to us. He's going to be all broken. We aren't going to be able to do anything with him. He goes two innings, one hit, two Ks. That looks good so far. Keep that up, Sawyer. Anything else to say about this wonderful 1-0 ball game or this wonderful series that the Tigers ended up taking? We didn't get a sweep, but we took it.
Yeah, I mean, nothing other than that.
I have a question. Did you get a shower?
I did not.
Didn't do the shower.
Well, here's the reason why. Okay. The PA announcer, when we came in, said, by the way, did you know that we have a shower?
And so 80 people showed up at the shower out there.
So, and I'm on the knee scooter, still foot rehab.
Right. Okay.
No, I scoot out there with my boys, and they're like, we need to see the shower. We need to see the shower. And we go, and there is a line, not 80
mile
deep,
long,
but no, nah, like
deep, too deep for that.
12, 15 deep.
Too deep for that fan attraction.
Just hosing themselves down in very inglorious fashion. Like, a lot of skin shown and a lot of white t-shirt that didn't think I would ever see or want to see.
Okay.
Let's just say that on both sexes.
Sure. Okay. So you got to see the shower. You didn't get in the shower. Too popular of an attraction this time around.
It wasn't that. I really can't get the cast wet. And I would have gone in, but when we approached, two of the fairer sex wanted to join me in the shower, and I wasn't really comfortable with that being posted. Let's just say that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting. For those of you who do not know, my partner is playing injured over the last month or so and doing a remarkable job. At times medicated, at times not.
He's had a little surgery. It'll be 8 weeks.
Has it been 8 weeks?
It'll be 8 weeks next Thursday.
I can't believe that I hadn't taken in that it's been 8 weeks and not 1 month. This is something my wife would lecture me for. She'd be like, you don't pay attention to me.
I would still say I'm batting like, I don't know, at least 280.
280. You're batting 280. You're batting 295 right
Whoa,
now.
Whoa, that's high.
295. You're almost 300 hitter at this point. So at any rate, you had a good time at guaranteed rate. You didn't do the shower. Did you eat anything?
Of course I did.
How much did you stuff in your pie hole?
This is cumulative. Okay.
Yeah, give me
So I've got neighbors with me. Come on, let's just... Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I've got all sorts of stories to tell, and I just kind of want you to dictate this. Today's attendance was 13,647, according to what I'm reading right now on MLB.
Okay.
Of that, I would guess easily 4,000 to 5,000 of those were Tiger fans. And that is not an uncommon occurrence.
Quarter Tiger fans at the cell, guaranteed rate.
Yeah, a solid
That's about
quarter.
Right. That sounds a lot of Detroiters in Chicago.
Yeah, a lot of people making the road trip because it's an easy, you know, right off 94. Anyhow, where I was going to go with this, food. And I've got glorious things to share with you.
Please do.
People next to us said you have to try the chicken. Okay, hold on. They're buffalo wing, but like no wing. It's like those boneless wings.
Yeah, like a boneless wing.
Okay. Over waffle fries, drizzled in either blue cheese or ranch.
I feel like ballparks are trying to give people a heart attack. It's like the guy who's pulling together the culinary experience is saying, how do we clog an artery?
Exactly.
How do we do this?
So I said, buy one, I'll pay for the other. Six of us, meaning the people next to us, you know, we'll share two of them. Is that cool? And he was like, hundo. And he was like, do you want to just give me your card? And I was like, sure. And then I was like, I thought better of it. And I was like, how about this? I'll just get drinks. And he was like, perfect. We couldn't finish both of them. It was just a greasy.
Couldn't finish both?
Over six people.
You got two portions of this.
It was a greasy, nasty mess. So picture boneless wings from like a BW3 or Buffalo Wild Wings or whatever you call that place. Yeah. Or Wingstop.
Just some mass-produced wing joint, basically.
Gordon Food Service, I'm sure.
Okay.
sitting and just marinating in its own
oils,
vile juices and oils, and then slapping it on top of some waffle fries that are also marinating and just festering in their own juices. Chet, was each bite was just like a sodium bomb in no flavor, no nothing. It was terrible. So we
did at one point, were you eating and you just felt like you were coating your mouth with baby oil or something all around it, just cooking grease?
Just no on the baby oil, but that's a great visual for the listeners. Thank you.
Yeah.
No, I had two bites.
When I eat stuff like that, I feel like I'm just lacquering my face in oils.
I had two bites and said, peace out, and excused myself to use the men's room and came back with which was a big winner, Beggar's Pizza. Their tagline is they lay it
something they, even more healthy.
They lay it on thick.
That's fabulous.
Chet, it was.
They lay it on thick.
It was. I'm telling you, if the, I don't know what we call
only
it.
Only rivaled by Olympia beer. It's the water. It's the only other tagline that
you know
I can think
we need
of.
To call the previous thing is Southside Poutine.
Southside Poutine, is that what it is? Is that what the boneless wings on waffle
so,
fries
Southside
is?
Poutine.
Side Poutine. Okay. All right.
The Southside Poutine, if that won't get you, guess what will?
Beggar's Banquet Pizza or whatever?
Beggar's Pizza or a Polish. I mean, I brought back four slices, which should be a whole pie, right? I mean, $32, no big deal. And I asked if you could kind of cut them into eighths, you know, just so we could share. And I got cheese, pepperoni, sausage, as they say on the South Side. It was fine.
When they say
they lay it on thick.
Mm-hmm. Is it just the cheese?
Imagine ordering, and you might, this is a Detroit reference for us all. Do you remember like ordering Little Caesars when we were little and you could get extra cheese and it was like really like a cheese bomb. I mean, it was like almost
deep. The bread was hiding basically. Yes. It just wasn't even,
Okay, that is what a standard slice is from Beggar's Pizza.
I'm going to say that you're lucky your arteries are still pumping blood through them and functioning as they should be.
Thank you.
I'm glad you didn't eat any more of the Southside Poutine. That would have been bad.
I have one more item for you.
You had another item? I'm sweating thinking about this. Go on.
Well, and you accused me of sweating down there.
Was it the pork chop sandwich? Did you go for the pork chop sandwich?
God, No. Come on.
I thought we were going to get a pork chop sandwich.
We already talked about that. They've got this Korean mashup or...
Why wouldn't they?
And it's like a waffle, but not like chicken and waffle. It's more like a... savory waffle, which I've never had a savory waffle. I've had savory pancakes. I've never had a savory waffle.
Interesting.
With, again, more fried nuggets between it, either shrimp or chicken. Drizzled.
You don't eat shrimp at the ballpark, not at guaranteed rate. You're not getting shellfish at guaranteed rate.
You don't eat shrimp south of Chinatown in Chicago.
I wouldn't eat shrimp at guaranteed rate field if you paid me to eat the shrimp.
Well,
no offense to the chef and the culinary staff at Guaranteed Rate, but I'm not putting any, no seafood from you guys in my mouth. I'm sorry.
So I have two. That was disgusting. I literally tore a piece of the savory waffle, had a piece of chicken that tasted almost identical, even though it was a Korean kapow sauce or something like that.
Okay.
It tasted virtually identical to what we got on the waffle fries. So a big zero for food today, except for I have one really, really interesting nugget, no pun intended. Guess what's on draft at Beggar's Pizza?
What's that?
That you would associate with Chicago, but never with the South Side. That would be Old Style.
I kind of feel like it's still it might still be a South Side beer. I know that it's big for the Cubs. On the north side, but I feel like I've seen old style signs and whatnot on bars on the south side before.
So
in my Chicago beer, right?
Yeah. I mean, they had to package this in a pizza container for me. And then they gave me like a little carrier case.
Yeah.
They only sell you two beers. So I put them over one of my handlebars on my knee scooter. and brought him back. And my boys from the neighborhood were going nuts over the fact, where'd you get the old style? Where do we get more old style? And then our new neighbors, and then the new neighbors on the other side, there's only 8 people in a row in the good seats.
Well, there's 15,000 people there. It makes it sound like you guys had like your own little neighborhood out there.
I make friends. I try. Yeah. Anyhow, we had 2 old styles thereafter, and everybody was real happy with that. That is my food review. I've got nothing more for
you.
You've
done an incredible job reporting from Guaranteed Rate Field this season.
Yeah.
I might add. Detailed reports. It's been sensational. We've got the Twins coming to town. I am locked up for the weekend plans-wise. I want to go so bad tomorrow night. I don't think I'm going to get to go see Scoble pitch. I feel really down about it. I've got all sorts of chaos going on, and I cannot just get away for that long to go down and see a ball game at this point. I got 4 shots at it, and I'm not going to make it unless something crazy happens at the last minute. Maybe. Never, you know, I'm not holding out hope, but we'll see. Either way, this is kind of an important 4-game set.
If your co-host just drops in out of the blue?
Well, you can if you want to, knee scooter and all. We'll get you down there, get some sort of seating for you and everything.
ADA seating's the way to go.
I mean, if you make it all the way from Chicago to Minneapolis, I'll make it from my house to the ballpark. One way or the other, I'll clip my other plans. But did you see in the news this past week, Byron Buxton, post-trade deadline, apparently told like 6 teams no go. Like, people were coming after him, wanted to trade for him, and he said, no, he's got a big no-trade clause. He's like, I'm here. I want to be in Minnesota. He came out and gave a big speech to the team, had, like, a team dinner while they were in Cleveland and basically said, like, guys, we got to get our horses and start playing with some pride. Everybody's going crazy for Byron right now. He's Mr. Twin. He's showing leadership, trying to pull the team together and rally them. Apparently, they're going to have, like, some standing ovation for Byron Buxton. I believe it's going to be day after tomorrow, so it'll be Friday. They're not going to do it during the Scoble game because Scoble's probably going to shut them down, but they'll do it Friday when they go against somebody else, probably Mize or whoever. And I think that's kind of cool, story. A guy that actually wants to be somewhere playing, doesn't want to get traded away, wants to make things right and get things better. Second bit of news out of Minnesota, the poll ads are not selling off the team, only giving away some minority stake of it. I'm not shocked by that at all. They get a little help cash-wise. They keep control of the squad. Now we'll see what it does for the team going forward and if they're going to provide any competition for the Tigers in the division. Any thoughts, Bill, on the Twins-Tigers series coming up?
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts on this just because I read the same news that you did, and I do have a Byron Buxton story if I can share it either now or post.
Please do.
Well, no. Let me just do the business news.
Yeah.
I think they were smart to avoid the Justin Ishbia money.
Probably.
And I think they still want to be controlling owners. Attendance is the worst it's been in, is it 12 years or 13 years since Target Field's opened?
Yeah.
So they've fallen into a rut. And here's the deal. And I know you've lived there.
Mm-hmm.
There are 2 cities that I identify with is sports deserts, meaning championships don't happen.
Yeah.
One is the Twin Cities, the other is Atlanta. Outside of that, most other cities seem to have their day in the sun with 4 or 3 major sports. I'm not talking about like a Nashville that's like new to it. You know what I'm saying? But most others have had some type of
something in the last 30 years is what you're saying. I mean, Atlanta, the late 90s, obviously, and
baseball, but
baseball.
The Falcons are they're a desert, you know?
Yeah. Hawks, Falcons, whatever. Yeah. Sure.
Well, they can't keep a NHL team. So kudos to anyway, where I was going with this is it's good that they're infusing new blood, new money, and new ideas.
I think a lot of people were hoping they'd sell because they haven't done anything. So it's like,
but the key
fan base is still a little disappointed.
The key thing I read was new ideas.
Yeah.
And new ways to market the team, new ways to approach it. I am one that it's either 5 or 6 on my ballpark list.
Okay.
Target Field.
Yeah.
Meaning top. It's amazing.
It's a great experience. A great experience.
You and I went, and I had a great time. And what I was going to say to this is, or we had a great time, is that there's no reason they should be
where they're at. And this is what's really more frustrating coming back to the Tigers on the fact that they just didn't go for the jugular. Mm-hmm. Because you've got the White Sox in a place of rebuilding. You've got the Guardians who clearly will only develop from within and not spend money. The Royals are trying to seek a new stadium. They were buyers, but they're not really that close to anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so really the division comes down to you and the Twins, and that's what frustrates me about the guess who the Tigers' trading partner. The first trading partner was the Twins.
I know.
So
Tigers, Twins, it's going to kind of come. I don't know. Cleveland's going to have a lot to say about this, right?
They're going to have everything to say.
Cleveland could trade half their team and still somehow compete. It's like a magical thing. Something coming out of the Lake Erie. I have no idea.
It's definitely got to be Lake Erie water.
I think it is.
Yeah. All right. Byron Buxton's story. He spoke at the kids' Montessori school when we lived in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, when he was a single A Cedar Rapids colonel.
Okay.
And my son, who was 4 at the time,
yeah,
Grady, raised his hand and was like, "Do you like beer?" To which Byron Buxton flummoxed, said, "Sure, I do like beer." He's like, "Great, my dad owns a brewery. You should go see it."
Did he ever show up?
Yes,
he showed up. Fantastic.
So Byron Buxton might be my favorite player of all time because he dropped like...
And he showed up.
Stupid money, too. I mean, meaning like he bought shirts, swag, stuff to go. And I literally forwarded it all to my youngest. So that's it.
Fantastic.
Nothing more. Nothing less.
He did the marketing for you.
All I can say is I hope the Twins build around him because he's a keeper.
He's a guy to like, right? And he's a player to like.
Yeah. And so
he's got to stay healthy.
Can I just one last thought? I was looking at all the Riley Green stats today, and they did one that said he was the Tigers' rookie of the year in 2022. He was also their MVP. And so I did a quick Google search. Do you know the only other time that's happened in Tigers history?
I'm going to go with either Al Kaline.
You got
it. Is that the one? I got it on first guess. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just, because a lot of our listeners are like, "Hey, I'm impatient with Green." Here's the deal with Green. Right now, this should be his rookie season by most metrics, or last year should have been his rookie season.
Okay.
Right? He's 24 years old.
Yeah.
Most guys aren't hitting the major leagues at this point. And I just would say, let's exhale on it. I'm not saying he's going
to. I agree with you. I was trying to get that out in the last.
Okay.
He's working on it. He's a guy I'm starting to cheer for. He's working on it. He'll get there. He's going to come around. He's got an awkward swinging. You know, he's got that angle. He's got the uppercut swing. And it's going to cause a few Ks here and there. But I think he's going to be okay. Talented enough. And I'm definitely pulling for him to pull it around.
I don't have anything else, but let's go Tigers. Let's
get some wins against the Twins. How's that? We got to pay them back for that last series.
That's a good t-shirt you like that? Slogan.
Get some
bumper
wins
sticker.
Against the Twins.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll get very far wearing it around here. But we got to pay them back for that last series. We got smoked and it kind of took the wind out of the sails a little bit there. So we owe them some games here. Folks, we'll be back after the 4-game set. Enjoy your weekends. Enjoy the Tigers-Twins series or whatever you're getting into this weekend. Thanks. We'll talk soon. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of The Litter Box, a Detroit Tigers podcast. Thanks for hanging out with us. We're Bill and Chet. We'll be back soon with more Tigers talk. If you're enjoying the show, be sure to follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And hey, if you got a minute, leave us a quick review. Till next time, go Tigers!